get to know the hosts of CSPN's Know the Score. Sports enthusiast Tim Hamilton.
You know, I'm originally from the D.C. area, by way of New York City. My connection to sports is very, very unique, I would say. I'm very emotional. It's more than a hobby, like, in terms of watching sports, stuff like this. It's almost like it's embedded in terms of how I and who I am. Mostly, I think most of my favorite players, like, in all the sports I've talked about, are mainly in basketball. Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, KD. This one's a kind of a wild card, and I'll probably get judged for this, but I love J.R. Smith. J.R. gets a bad rap, you know, because he's, like, the problem child, and you know, he takes the worst shots. I just like what he does in the court. Like, he has that fearless mentality. He doesn't care. And I don't know, I kind of rock with guys like that. He's kind of against the mold, you know, tattoos everywhere, you know. I always call him by his real name, is Earl, so I always call him Earl like I know him. So
CSPN's Know the Score premieres on Sunday, June 21st at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can get to know more about the show and meet the hosts by visiting our website at cspn.us, or follow us on Twitter at KTSPod. CSPN presents Know the Score.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to a Neuroscience episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Oh, we don't have...
All of that. Hold on. Hold
yeah,
on.
I was about to say, we spent 30 minutes on this. I didn't realize we have sound effects guys in here.
Way to go. There we go.
I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And... not sure which man is behind the sound effects tonight, but I'm going to assume it's at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Twas not me, but hello, everybody.
So the real mystery man is at PCN underscore dirt on Twitter.
Oh, and right now,
and joining now he us. Joins, yeah. Yeah.
Whenever he gets his video, if I see you will be. So while we allowed Agent 70 time to get situated, I do want to welcome Roddy Cat back to tonight's episode. He's joining us live on, what do you call it, on remote?
Yeah.
On location. Live on location.
Yep, coming to you from the ground, as I say.
On the ground at Heroes Con 2015 in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Woo!
Yes, sir. And what a day, what a day.
Okay, that's all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got. Listen. I was going to go into a whole con thing.
Want to direct everyone to the website?
What is going on?
So we have some massive delay going on here.
Clearly.
I want to remind everyone to go to the website theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and Comic Book Reviews. Follow the Twitter account at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Search for theclicknation and join the theclicknation community. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and youtube.com/TheClickNation. Make sure to give us 5-star reviews, give us a thumbs up, like us, help us move up the various podcast and video sites rankings. We are a part of the Code for the Podcast and comic-related podcasting networks. Various website, and in fact, Code for the Podcast got a new URL, which is cspn.us, and that'll redirect you to the Code for the Podcast Network and comic-related comicbookcrunch.com is comic related website. Use the hashtag comic book chronicles or CBCron on your various social media websites. And speaking of websites, I can't remember if I said the Click Nation or the CBCron Twitter account earlier, but make sure to also follow the official accounts. Remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you ever have any feedback you're going to have read on a future show, send that on over to the Comic Book Chronicles email address, comicbookchronicles@gmail.com. Are you with us, Agent 70?
I am, although there's a bit of lag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have someone from a hotel room. You have me upstairs with the not-so-strong Wi-Fi signal.
Got it.
So this is better than I had at Dragon Con, so...
All right, so let's take a quick look at the comic book cinematic news for the week. There was a new Captain America released this week, basically asking whose side are you on, Captain America or Iron Man? I guess there's a possible Spider-Gwen movie, perhaps, since Isaac Perlmutter is a fan of Spider-Gwen. Spider-Man shortlist down to two or three names. Asa Butterfield supposedly out. Bryce Dallas Howard wants to play Captain Marvel. Rupert Wyatt to direct the Gambit solo feature movie. Robert Downey Jr. told Mark Ruffalo that he's in Captain America Civil War. Who's doing the crickets?
Oh, that was me. That was me, yeah, because based on the Gambit solo feature news.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Also, I guess he came out today and said that he's not going to be in X-Men Apocalypse. To that, I said, no duh.
Yeah.
And Matthew Vaughn is developing a Hit Girl prequel to Kick-Ass.
All right.
I think that'll actually be received pretty well. People seem to like her most out of the Kick-Ass movies anyway.
Yeah, she's probably the breakout star.
Yeah. In solicitation news, Abnett's Wild's End returns in Boom Studios September 2015 solicits, and Green Lantern turns 75, and Harley is everywhere in DC September 2015 solicits. Now to comic book news. Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale's long-lost Captain America White to begin in September.
About time. That issue zero came out so long ago.
So I may check that out. You can unleash your inner colorist with three new Marvel adult coloring books this fall.
I know, right? Doesn't that, if you take that out of context, it just sounds so wrong. They could call it grown-up coloring books or something, right?
Yeah. Apparently there's going to be a lot of colorists here. So that might, I don't know. I don't know what that would suggest, but there's a lot of colorists supposed to be here.
Oh, you mean at the con?
Yeah. Maybe they're trying to bring colorists up. I don't know.
Well, you know, they got cover credit last year, so maybe it's a movement that's starting to grow. People want to talk to their favorite colorists, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Shout out to all the colorists.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's like, all right.
They're too busy tweeting and checking on fantasy sports.
John Byrne and...
That's funny. Go ahead, Tim.
Wait, did he really freeze?
John Byrne and Roger Stern's... I'm here.
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. John Byrne and Roger Stern's Marvel The Lost Generation returns to Secret Wars.
All right.
I see Jim Zub and Ramon Box return to Disney Kingdoms in Figment 2.
I'm sure
Dirt was a fan of that, right?
Dirt's going to be happy about that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. My son enjoyed it, so we'll look forward to it. Although I'm kind of wondering what the story is going to be, but I guess we'll see. The limits of your imagination, I guess they can do anything, right?
Exactly.
Figment versus Lockheed.
That's the premise. It could happen after Civil War. Or
that's probably, yeah, Secret Wars, yeah.
It'll probably be Deadpool.
Devils do in First Comics create new comics publisher. I think I got an email about that.
Yeah.
History. Dan DiDio almost always had it in for Robin and the Superman Lois marriage. So yeah, we brought this up. Marvel, Comixology, and Amazon expand exclusive deal.
Yeah, so the deal between Marvel and technically Amazon, of which Comixology is a part, basically is why you get the free digital copy in all those $3.99 issues of Marvel Comics, because they have the deal with Comixology to run Marvel's store. So Marvel has those stickers where you get that free digital copy to go along with it. And then along with that, since Amazon, you know, the deal was originally exclusively with Comixology. Now that Amazon owns Comixology, then they're expanding that exclusive single issue sales to the Kindle bookstore. So if you've got a Kindle, you can go in and get the individual Marvel books through the Kindle bookstore as well as Comixology. And technically it's still exclusive because it's still Amazon, the parent company.
Okay.
They've altered the deal. Pray they don't alter it further.
That looks like it's it for comic book news.
No, man. The Secret War Shields. They're canon now. That's the biggest news.
I'm dealing with that. What shield? The lenticular shields?
From the Secret War stories.
They're canon in the sense that they're in the Deadpool.
Details.
But I don't know if that story is particularly canon.
That's funny. I got a kick out of that. I did read that particular book this week. That's funny.
I have to look at what a lenticular shield is.
Oh, poor Tim doesn't. He wasn't around. Exactly. He wasn't around. Oh, no.
All right. Variant covers. Any? I always leave that stuff to Roddy or whoever else has a variant cover they want to point out.
The big variant for September.
The Green Lantern ones also, but I didn't see anything spectacular.
Christian Ward connects Marvel Shield 50th anniversary specials.
Yeah, that one's cool. And the Lando, the Lando one, the Scotty Young Lando one was actually pretty good too.
Okay. Oh, wasn't there some story about the orders for Lando are really super high?
Yeah, it beat out Civil War. Or,
come on.
Wait. Yeah, that's because I just saw that a little bit ago.
Yeah, Lando beat Civil War for advance reorders.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, good for them.
Hey, Star Wars properties, they're a big deal.
So for reorders, I mean, these are after stores have placed their original order, and then they, like, stuff runs out, and they want to order more, something hasn't come out yet, but there's a buzz around it, and they think it's going to sell better, so they up their orders, they order more copies before it comes out. So the advance reorders of stuff that haven't come out yet, but retailers are bumping up all their numbers on. Lando is the highest advanced reorder. Civil War is number two. Star Wars number one. Darth Vader number one. Secret Wars number one. Mad Max Fury Road. Justice League 41. I mean, those are the top books that you'd expect to have high orders. But the question with a book like Lando, you don't know how high the initial orders were, that these reorders are so high. So was there a question of, is this book going to be as popular, and did they maybe not order as many, but now they see how much fan reaction there is to it, so then they go back and reorder a whole bunch more? Or is it just that the Marvel Star Wars universe is just snowballing so high that Lando is going to end up being, like, you know, the biggest debut so far because they just keep adding readers on and on? And that's something that we've seen in our store, definitely, is, you know, they're on issue, what, 6 is the last Star Wars that just came out, I think. And there are still people, there's still people coming in that want issue 1, 2, and 3, you know, that haven't read it. They want to check it out and see what it's about. So it's still picking up readers even this far along.
Is the trade solicited for sometime soon? I'm assuming they're going to do the first 6 issues.
I don't recall seeing it yet, but I'll have to go back and double check.
Because that'll give you something to market to these people who are looking for issues 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Unless they're really interested in getting the director's cut that came out this week.
Yeah, the problem with trades, though, is that we have to sell them basically at the price that's printed on them, and
right.
places like Barnes & Noble and Walmart can sell them for cheaper than that, so
right.
you tend to stick more with just the regular issues than going with the trades.
No, of course, of course, of course. I wanted to mention, you know, it's funny, I brought up the director's cut. I was glad to be able to pick up a copy of the director's cut, Star Wars number one. It's pretty interesting to see the book, you know, in black and white, and the script as well. You know, you can see what it looks like here. You know, that's Cassidy's art in black and white, and there's a copy of Aaron's script in here as well. So, you know, I'm always a fan of the nuts and bolts, so it's kind of cool to see it, on the printed page in front of us. So this might be worth, you know, selling to those people looking for issue number one, Doug.
All right. Any other Barrett news?
Nah, I was about to say, shout out to Classic Material. He probably ran up some of those numbers.
Ah! He probably did.
Of the Lando book, anyway.
Exactly.
But now I think that's it for that.
Wow, right. Is it a slow news week?
It is.
That and the news person was running around.
Just gives us more time to get to the actual meat of the show, which is reviewing comics.
There you go.
But first, I must read our sponsor ad. Today's podcast is sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Go to ColdSlitherPodcast.com and click on Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, click on the My Comic Shop banner and order from a vast selection of new releases, back issues, vintage classics, graphic novels, and more to be delivered right to your door. Why bother schlepping to the local comic book store when you can order your books online? My Comic Shop through ColdSlitherPodcast.com. Do it today. All right. I see Agent 70's filled his list out.
Yeah, I actually didn't get to read as much as I wanted to this week. I actually missed out on reading Ms. Marvel number whatever it is up to this week.
16. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about trying to speed read it before the show, but
right.
I just got a couple pages of Justice League of America out the way.
Do you guys want to talk about that right now, Justice League of America number one? Did you guys read that, all of you?
Yeah.
I read some of it.
See, I struggled through this. Did anyone else...
It was not the best Justice League book I've ever read.
Didn't it sort of read very choppy? It was just choppy and just uneven. I had a very, just a tough time flipping through. There's a lot of pages to this stupid thing too. So,
well, first there was a lot of talking in the book, a lot, and it's not just there was a lot of talking, but it was a lot of pages of this character we've never seen before, trying to explain things without really explaining things,
right?
With just pages of text balloons.
Yep.
Which, okay, fine. But then, in the middle of Superman hearing all these stories, you have Aquaman.
We get Nicholas A. and Twix. No, I'm kidding. we do.
Aquaman wanders off, and he's doing something in another part of the world that is seemingly completely unconnected with this story. You had Flash and Green Lantern and Wonder Woman and Batman, and they're all in a spot.
Right, they're all being drawn to a spot.
But all of that's unconnected from what Superman's doing. And it felt like he was trying to world build, I guess, and it just wasn't... You couldn't see a connection between anything that was happening.
Agreed.
And so I found myself reading it, I was not captivated. I wasn't pulled in by any of it. It just felt more like, when you have some of those bad cartoons, you know, some of the, like, Justice League Unlimited episodes or whatever that just didn't really go anywhere. It was just kind of boring, and that's kind of what this was. Like, there was no point I could point to this one moment and say this killed the story, but I can look at the entire book and say there's nothing here that really pushed the story or made it exciting or really intrigued me.
Well, I think what Hitch was trying to do, what we've neglected to mention, is that Brian Hitch is doing not just the art on this, but also the script, the story, and the plotting. So, I think what Hitch was banking on, I think, was some of the shock factor of seeing, you know, spoiler alert, a room full of dead Superman. you know, and kind of getting the story moving along with a quick bang at the beginning of the issue. And I was pretty underwhelmed by that, and it wasn't all that intriguing. And to be perfectly honest, I was surprised to say that the art was fairly underwhelming as well.
It just didn't look as detailed and as nice as a lot of his stuff.
Right, and there was a couple of panels that were just kind of elongated, and you know, the anatomy was just kind of off somewhat. I don't know if anyone else noticed that. I mean, I've collected a lot of Hitch's Marvel stuff. I didn't really read his previous DC stuff per se, or the Image, but you know, like, it was America's Got Superpowers, I think it was.
Yeah, that was one of them.
Right, and I didn't really pick up on that stuff, but you know, I'm comparing this to a lot of the stuff I read in the Ultimates. And it just wasn't as tight. You know, the focus on the anatomy just wasn't there.
I did see something a day or two ago saying that he wouldn't mind doing like 7 arcs, which will take, what, 7 years?
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no.
I guess the big hook that's supposed to pull you back in is the reveal at the end of the issue. Character, I guess we'll say, the character that appears at the end of the book. But even then, it's so patently obvious that whatever this is can't be what it's supposed to be.
Right.
So there's no intrigue, really. It's like, okay, someone is lying about who they are and trying to trick Superman into thinking something else. Who cares? You know, I don't see, because the character, you know, and again, trying not to spoil anything, but the character that appears is not a character that has really had any major influence on Superman, you know, other than a throwaway word here and there. So the fact that this character appears is a character that's had really no impact on his life and has really meant nothing to his myth, you know, other than one tiny little reference that you can put on a Wikipedia page and then never mention again. So I just didn't care, you know. Just got done with the book, and I thought, well, that was $6.
Oh, no.
Was it $5.99?
Yep.
Yeah, it was expensive.
It's oversized. I mean, it's 60 it pages or something like that.
It's a lot
like
of
that.
Pages.
It is.
All, yeah. It kind of reminds me of when, not to say every artist that tries to, you know, do the writing and drawing on their own books does this, but like when Dustin Weaver drew and did the writing on one of the Edge of Spider-Verse issues. Mm-hmm. I came away from that issue saying, like, wow, this was very wordy.
Right. And it's funny, he actually did another book that we're not supposed to be talking about this week because it actually didn't come out. Dustin Weaver, that is.
Okay.
He actually did a book. You know, there's a book that we may have had a chance to read that's not out this week.
Oh, did that get moved?
Yeah.
To next week?
Oh, I think so. So did I. And then I saw it. And
oh, is it? Is it one of the delayed Secret Wars books?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, Dustin Weaver.
Might have been the book I was just asking about in the dark.
Well, I mean, there were 74 books that got delayed from Marvel or something like that. So.
Right.
That's
funny. That's funny. Anyway, I'm sorry to bring that up in a very, you know, kind of abstract way. I didn't want to completely spoil what it was, but since we're talking about Dustin Weaver, if you just have any sort of idea of who the creators are involved with some of these Secret Wars and Battle World books, you know what I'm referring to.
Okay. I'm looking on the list now. Now I see it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when is that coming out now?
I have no idea. It's not this week.
All right, I'm going to move it to next week's folder.
I looked at comic list, and I was like, oh, wait, it's not out this week. So, anyway, what else did you guys read? You want to stay with DC? Anyone else read Robin, Son of Batman?
I did.
What'd you think, Dirt?
I don't know.
Why?
I was kind of confused by it.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me know that I was not alone in being completely confused by what was going on.
If you look at this cover here, there's this giant red wolf, dragon, bat.
Dog. Right, it's allegedly a man bat. I'm not spoiling anything.
So the lesson to take away from this week is beware of books written and drawn by the same artist.
Right.
Well, and it's one of those stories, again, where you get dropped in the middle of the story. you're in a strange location. There's stuff going on that you don't quite understand. There's characters that you've never seen before. They're talking about events that have not happened that you've ever seen. And at some point down the line, it's all going to get explained. But for right now, you're just sitting there kind of going, why do I care about this? I don't get it. And that's kind of how I felt with Robin. I was going to do a Vine comic review of this, and I couldn't think of 6 seconds worth of anything to really say about it other than to just sit there and stare blankly at the camera. Because I got done, and I'm like, well, I don't feel like I hated it, but I don't feel like there is anything worth getting excited about either.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, and I think this is the main weakness with this issue number one and the Justice League of America, is that it did not sell me on picking up a second issue.
Yeah, I like Damian Wayne, you know.
Well, you know what? He's the brightest. I was about to say he was the brightest part of the story. It seemed like everything around him just didn't, you know, just didn't come together. You know, you spoke of the wolf / man bat looking thing that doesn't look like a bat at all. He's named Goliath in the story, and all I could think of was gargoyles. You know, shout out to gargoyles. But ultimately, you know, it's the character that I'm kind of following from page to page. But all the other stuff, the background stuff, the setup, the world building that they're trying to do, and the setup of the character that I'm not all that familiar with, and I don't know if I'm supposed to be familiar with. It was just very difficult to sort of care about the story, but I was, you know, still kind of captivated by just the character of Damian. And well, what, you know?
Here's my main problem, is the whole storyline with Batman right now in his book is right. That Bruce Wayne has disappeared. He's gone, presumably dead.
Right.
You've got Commissioner Gordon in this Batman battle suit. You've got Harvey Bullock and a couple other detectives doing, like, his cleanup backup crew.
Right.
And I wanted to see how the void of not having Bruce there and not having Tim, because they did, you know, Batman and Robin with Tim and Damian for a while, and that was interesting. Mm-hmm. But now here he is with no Tim, no Bruce, and it didn't touch on that at all. It didn't say anything about that situation. It was just him out on his own, wandering around, doing his thing. And like I said, I just had a hard time really caring about anything that was going on. So I guess I wasn't the only one, and that does make me feel a little better.
No, absolutely. I was pretty down after reading this. Kind of, you know, like I said, just not enthusiastic about the story, and not looking forward to picking up a second issue.
And again, this may be one of those things that just because of the era in which we live, where you get 6 issues through, you might have a tight story in a trade.
Right.
But as monthly issues, it just sometimes doesn't work out right. So, you know, I'm at least willing. I'm going to check out the next one just to see if it builds up at all.
Well, for academic purposes, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about academic purposes here, but I actually did legitimately pick up, you know, this issue while I was at the LCS on Wednesday.
Yeah, I kept one just because, like I said, I liked the character. I should have read it first before I kept it, but. But nonetheless, yeah, it was there. It's a book that exists, and that's about all I can say for it.
Gotcha. By the way, go ahead.
Oh, are you going to add something else?
No. I was just going to say I also I wanted to just jump super quick off topic and just say I also picked up the director's cut of Darth Vader, and that's pretty cool to see some of LaRocca's black and white art. But go on.
I was just going to move on to another DC number one that came out this week.
Go for it.
And that would be Doomed. Did anybody read Doomed?
Nay.
No.
Okay. You might want to check this one out.
Really?
This book is Scott Lobdell trying very, very hard to do Miles Morales in the DC universe.
No kidding.
I mean, that is what this book is. It's him and his friend. He gets these superpowers. He doesn't really know what
to do about
it. Is the
friend the chubby Asian guy?
No, actually, I think he's fucked.
That's funny.
There was a lot of talking, a lot of that Bendis-style dialogue where they talk the way we talk, you know, type of thing going on. Not a lot of action for the first issue, just kind of a little tease of what's going on. So you've got built-up characters, but there's not really a whole lot of you know, action and plot happening quite
yet.
Oh,
the protagonist is a young man of color. Oh, I see the Miles Morales.
But no, I mean, seriously, though, if you read it, if you took Miles Morales and put him in the DC universe and gave him the Doomsday virus, that's what this book would be.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the A-page preview kind of read like that, too. The A-page preview was pretty fun.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
And there's a Katie Bishop analog, too? Oh, my goodness.
I wish there was a little more action and a little more story, you know, in this one, as opposed to just giving you some character pieces and some beats to kind of establish the world. I mean, that's what this one is. This is really an establishment issue. But I think if anybody enjoys Miles Morales, they're going to enjoy Scott Lobdell ripping off Miles Morales pretty much as best as he can.
All right. I'll give it a shot, Dirt. I will give it a shot, Dirt, based on your recommendation.
I think the artist is the Javier Fernandez, I'm getting my artist mixed up. But I think he did contribute to Magneto. I was going to say he was the guy that helped launch it, but that was another person whose name escapes me.
Let's see.
I can throw out another DC book since we're on a roll.
Yeah, because they put out a whole bunch of number ones this week.
Dr. Fate number one.
Wait, don't you have a no magic thing? or does this not qualify? Oh, he froze.
Oh, no! It's the magic!
He probably doesn't know that he's frozen and he's been talking straight for like the last 25 seconds.
I think he just figured it out.
Yeah.
Or he just got disconnected.
That's another one. That's
Did anybody else read Dr. Fate?
Nay.
All right, we'll wait for him to get back before we talk about that one. Did anybody read Martian Manhunter, though?
No, but ooh. I heard. Do you guys bring up a story about a rumor regarding Martian Manhunter and like later issues?
No.
I don't think we did, no.
Oh, okay. So I guess you can talk about it when you talk about the book. Go ahead.
Well, this was actually a fun issue. I enjoyed this one quite a bit. There's basically the idea is a lot of aliens are on Earth, kind of like a Men in Black type thing. They're hiding as shapeshifters in everyday sight. Mm-hmm. Some of them are kind of old, lost their shapeshifting abilities, so they're, you know, the transients that you see kind of huddled in the corners and the alleys, you know, hiding out, whatever. And everything that you know about Martian Manhunter has been a lie up until this point, basically. It's been a false story that's been presented to the American public to cover up his true identity and his true mission. And that is that Martians are going to invade Earth, and he was supposed to be part of an early, scouting force, whatever.
Yeah.
And that the aliens, the Martians are going to destroy mankind, take over the planet. There's a lot of them that are still alive in existence, and somehow Martian Manhunter was a weapon of mass destruction that was supposed to be smuggled onto Earth in order to somehow cause the end of humanity.
So he's Goku from Dragon Ball.
Well, he's basically fighting against it. He's the reluctant villain.
So basically,
So I actually enjoyed this quite a bit. I retconning is one of those things where it can feel very cheap or it can feel very smart. And this one felt very smart, the way they handled it.
Okay.
And the way they explained it. And I enjoyed the beats of the story. As opposed to Robin, where I came out of it going, I don't know what the heck's going on. I came out of this one going, I am looking forward to the next issue. Like, I really do want to know how these characters fit together and how, you know, he plays a part in this invasion and how this invasion is going to happen and all these things. Because you see that there is this global conspiracy of these, you know, shapeshifter aliens infiltrating society. So I am intrigued. And this does make me want to read the next one as soon as it comes out.
That's cool.
All right.
Let's see. Tim is still moving.
Yeah.
Anybody read Superman Wonder Woman?
No, but I saw that the Truth banner was on this cover.
Mm-hmm. The weird thing is, if you look at Justice League, came out last week, and Justice League of America came out this week, you still have Bruce Wayne Batman, you still have powerful Superman with his secret identity and everything.
Right.
But yet, the Batman books, the Superman books, everything has changed.
Right, and the team-up books, Superman, Batman, and Superman, Wonder Woman.
Right. Batman, Superman.
Oh, Batman, Superman. Sorry about that. Right. But yeah, like I said, the two team-up books are reflecting the new status quo.
The one problem, like this story overall is fine. There's actually some secrets about Superman that have never been revealed before, just small personal things about him, but they came across, again, you know, retcons can feel cheap or smart, and this one was a little bit of a mix of both. It felt kind of cheap, but it made sense in the overall story. Like, you could see, like, I could see how this retcon would fit in, but the main problem I had is that it's another massive problem is happening in Smallville.
Oh.
And we saw that in Action Comics did a storyline where Smallville.
Yes, where the aliens were possessing them or something like that.
It was like a big horror movie, whatever. And and there was something. There was another storyline where Smallville was under attack from something. I don't remember. Was it part of the Brainiac? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyway, so again, they're in Smallville, and again, there's some sort of aliens or something that are stealing houses.
There's a disturbance, yes.
And Lana and John Henry Irons have been kidnapped and have disappeared, and he's got to find them. And so, I mean, the story itself is technically fine. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no real problem. The story doesn't stumble in any way other than the fact that once again we're in Smallville, and once again Smallville's having this problem. Once again Smallville's under attack. And I don't know if at some point they're just going to say, oh, by the way, it's like Summerdale in Buffy or whatever the name of that town was, where it's like a gateway to hell. It's underneath Smallville. I don't know if
there's a reason why. I was about to say there's a reason why Clark's or Kal-El's ship was drawn to Smallville, right?
Right. Yeah. Maybe there's a big evil magnet that's sucking in Smallville beings. I don't know. But
Smallville's a hellmouth. That's great.
Hellmouth. That's what the word was. Couldn't think of it.
But somebody is a Buffy fan here. I got you.
I've watched a few episodes.
All right. So, I see you.
So like I said, if you're following the truth stuff, it's worth checking out. And like I said, the story itself is technically fine, but it is, once again, Smallville. And that's the main problem with it.
All right. Any other DC that we would like to bring up? Because that's pretty much...
I was skimming through Black Canary just now, but I can't really say much about it.
Okay. Oh, there's a little bit of a cliffhanger ending to the Superman Wonder Woman, right? I was just flipping through it.
I'm back.
Hey!
One problem.
I'm trying to remember. I can't remember what the ending was of Superman Wonder Woman.
Well, there's an appearance by a certain group that has that is currently filming a feature film.
Oh, right.
Well, come on, man. I'm not trying.
No, he meant the Guardians of the Galaxy appear.
Exactly.
I'm helping fill the gap there. So, let's see, Dr. Fate, it's about magic. It's another one of those, you know, young teenage kid, you know, gains power. But it actually seems kind of interesting, even though it deals with magic.
I love it.
I like, I think the kid's name is Khalid. I forget how you say his last name or what his last name is, but yeah, it has potential. And I was going to read Doomed anyway, but hearing it compared to Miles Morales gives me hope. I kind of dislike Scott Lobdell on Teen Titans.
Yeah, I agree on that. Well, but see, that's the thing though with a book like Doomed, is that it's not Scott Lobdell trying to be Scott Lobdell. It's Scott Lobdell trying to rip off Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah.
And maybe the fact that he's going to somebody else and just kind of
getting inspiration, right?
Right. Heavy inspiration. That may make a difference.
I'm also kind of curious for his Red Hood and Red Hood and Arsenal now.
Yeah, that one was actually like I said over Twitter that that one was actually pretty good in the A page preview.
Yeah, I kind of like that too.
Yeah, and the first one was all right. Yeah, I'm kind of curious about where that goes.
So yeah, Dr. Fate gets a thumbs up, and Black Canary. I heard y'all at least start to bring up. I did read that. It was cool. I'm trying to figure out how is the band already named Black Canary before Diana or Dinah, how you say her name, came along.
Dinah. They were fans?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And as we're in the podcast, William Bruce West says, basically makes the Spider-Gwen comparison to Black Canary.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because of the music, right?
Yeah. Being in the band. But I would say that at least, I haven't read last week's Spider-Gwen yet, but at least the issues beforehand, being in the band wasn't as big a focal point as it is in Black Canary. Well,
so now this is Jim and the Holograms. Is that what it is?
If I remember Jim and the Holograms, yes.
There's probably a couple of parallels to it, but and as far as Spider-Gwen, yeah, she hadn't. I mean, up until recently, she hadn't been back in the band up until like this last issue, anyway. So
okay,
she had left. Well, she had got dropped from the band and then came back.
Right.
So the one thing that I've heard most about Black Canary is that it's supposed to be aping what's going on in the Batgirl books. And have you been reading Batgirl since the big overhaul several months back?
I have.
So does it feel like that same type of energy and storytelling?
It seems slightly different. Like, I mean, yes, they both kind of deal with heroes in their more in their non-superheroing, not community, but a lifestyle, kind of, you know, copying from Matt Fraction's Hawkeye. But I will say Batgirl seems more fun-loving than Black Canary. Like, you know, even though Babs is kind of like down on her luck at the beginning of the new Batgirl run, you know, she's out of her luck, she's homeless and has no money, she still kind of has like a cheerful disposition. Black Canary, not saying that she's like, you know, dour and depressed or whatnot, but it's more...
she just can't stay out of trouble.
Yeah. Trouble finds her.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say, I mean, yes, they're similar, but I wouldn't say it's like exactly the same as Batgirl.
Right.
Mm. But yeah, it was a good first issue. I'll keep up with it.
All right, cool.
Anything else, DC, from anybody?
Nah.
Nope.
Let me check my list. I think that was it.
I was about to say, what happened in Wonder Woman 41? Did anyone look at that?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to it yet.
Because I picked up the cover because the cover is supposed to be the debut of the new non-bathing suit costume.
Right.
So
that's what she's wearing in the Superman Wonder Woman that's out
there. Right.
She's outfit on.
Right. Does she have claws? Oh, my God.
Well, she's the God of War.
Yeah, but now she looks like Azrael.
This is very 90s. It's very 90s.
Oh, my God.
I thought that almost looked like the suit that was in the Wonder Woman pilot or trailer, whatever.
The pilot. Yeah, you're right.
I haven't been reading Wonder Woman, so...
Oh, she has claws or bleeds. Oh, lame. All right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Thor is number one?
Yes.
Sure. I enjoyed this.
This was I was so shocked at how
much you enjoyed it?
No. how I was... It took whatever expectations I might have had about this. I should not have been as surprised as I was to see that it was a police procedural, that, you know, for the police corps, you know, the police force for Battleworld.
Were you thinking Green Lanterns?
Kind of, but this was so much a procedural. Like I could have sworn I was watching
Battleworld Street Blues.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Battleworld Law and Order.
I was like Homicide, Life on the Streets type of thing.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah,
I did
this
too.
Book was good.
Oh, I did too.
I also love the fact that it was, at times it was very serious, like, okay, they're investigating murders, they're acting like cops, they're talking like cops, they're interrogating and trying to find clues and whatever, and then at the same time they go to the lab and it's Frog Thor wearing a lab coat, and they're like, well, how does that even, you know, happen? How is that possible? And he's like, I'm a frog that carries a hammer. Anything's possible. And I just love those little moments that they sprinkle in there in the story.
And I almost expected a gung gung in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I almost didn't read this. In fact, I was just kind of like, well, I only bought it because they put out this cover, which is the...
Oh, the Chick Thor,
And I've been collecting all these figure variants, so I was like, well, I have it because of the figure variant, but I don't know if I'm actually going to read it. And then I sat down, and I was like, well, I paid for it, I should at least read it. So I started flipping through it, and I was surprised. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
My favorite, one of my favorite parts was old King Thor as the disgruntled, like, chief. Get out of my office, you embarrassing. What the hell are you doing,
Some of the best lines were, well, he's the ultimate Thor, you know, like a real down, you know, like a real backhanded compliment. I thought, you know, some of these Battle World, you know, Secret Wars crossover books are so, you know, there's so many little Easter eggs that we can pick up on. And like you said, the Frog Thor, I literally started laughing out loud while I was
And Odin's son can't get into the bar because he's not
worthy.
He's like, unworthy is a gift, unworthy is freedom.
my favorite tie-in book so far.
Yeah, and I will say that the crime that they're trying to solve intrigues me very much.
Oh, because of who the victim is, right?
Yeah, well, finding out who the victim was is like something that happens on like the last page or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But even before then, when they started to discover the connection between the victims,
right?
That's when I was like really hooked by the mystery of who the connection between the different dead bodies that they're finding. And then when you get that name on the last page, that's when I was like, oh man, now I got to read the next one. So yeah, I enjoyed this one a lot too.
That's funny. It's so rare to hear all of us sort of chime in at the same time. Like, yeah, this is awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
Although I was sad about the one Thor character that apparently dies in this issue.
Right, right. Well, one of my favorites.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's one of my favorite characters too. So
yeah.
But oh well.
This is Marvel after all. So... It's never permanent. It's never permanent.
Well, and this is Battle World, so it's not at all permanent. But
I don't know. I kind of wish this Thor Corps kind of rolled over.
You know, they could once Secret Wars is over.
But they did say they were going to leave some stuff. I mean, some stuff's going to stick around.
Well, but if they did this as like a Max series or something, where they did it like outside the normal Marvel continuity, and just continued this on, if you know, kind of like a. Was it Gotham City PD?
but with Thor's.
If this book Gotham were to continue as a regular monthly, I probably would keep reading it.
Yeah,
that is
I'd
so
be all over it. And it's the regular cover's deceiving because they have Jane Foster Thor on there, but we know from the main Secret War series that she has something to do with him.
And you know what's funny is that when you talk about Thor's and Thor Corps, you know, like they've called it the Thor Corps in the main Secret Wars book, and you know, the most difficult part of, you know, just the Thor Corps stories, the previous Thor Corps stories, is that you've got this group of super duper powerful, you know, Thors from multiple dimensions, but what's their purpose? You know, why are they here? This story gives them purpose as a group. And I think, you know, and putting them into, you know, something that's so mortal, you know, like literally, you know, being, you know, police officers, you know, enforcers of like kind of everyday laws, it's kind of, you know, it gives the group a cool dynamic that, you know, the Thor Corps never really had.
And they're a lot cooler than the Green Lantern Corps.
Actually, they're much more like the Red Lanterns in many ways.
Yeah, because they get drunk. They're drunk on mead all the time.
Although I want to see the Brooklyn Nine-Nine version of Thor. Asgard 99.
Yeah, someone needs to ape that.
That's funny.
The Hala 99. I think we can do that.
That's funny.
So Jason Aaron is going to be here at Heroes. I need to go holler at him. Like, hey,
oh, you absolutely should. You absolutely should. You need to pass on your card and say, hey, we want you on the show.
Oh, that's going to happen. That's absolutely going to happen.
All right. What else did you guys read from Marvel?
Well, we talked about it earlier. Let's go ahead and get Ms. Marvel 16 out of the way.
All right. Don't spoil too much. I haven't read it yet.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not really much to spoil. It's the last day's issue for her. Well, we find her. Well, basically, we start off finding her in the dumps after her dealings with her crush.
Oh, the Inhuman, yeah.
Yeah, so we find her dealing with that in a pretty cute way, and then the last day stuff comes in where, you know, the planet comes down and people start freaking out, and it's basically, it goes through what she does, you know, when all of this goes down.
Okay.
So, and then at the end of it, well, not at the end of it, excuse me, it just basically sort of does that, because that'll start giving away, because I think I may have said too much.
Well, I think the cover for the next issue sort of gives it away.
Yeah. And
so.
But not everybody checks the solicits, so you can't.
Right.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
Okay, so
it was a pretty good read. Mm-hmm.
If someone doesn't read Ms. Marvel, but they're reading all of the Secret Wars stuff, does it tie in enough as being a last days story that it feels like it's part of that Secret Wars, that end of the world story, or is it just more just about her?
It's definitely a tie-in. It's probably a little bit more about her than actual tie-in. But I mean, the tie-in is actually an actual tie-in, as opposed to some tie-ins will say, "Hey, the Bounder just shows up for a panel and then leaves," type of deal.
Right. Okay.
Cool.
But the only thing you'll miss out for, I probably pretty much just told you, and that, like, so she's dealing with dealing with her the revelations on her crush.
Gotcha. All right. So let's see, what else we got here? Marvel this week.
Runaways, number one.
I was going to ask you about that.
How was that?
It wasn't exactly what I expected, but I'd give it like a average rating.
Okay.
It was like some people described it as the Breakfast Club.
Oh, no.
So basically it focuses on the whatever Doom School in Doomstadt, where the brightest young people from across all the different domains are sent there to learn, and then there's like some final exam where you get put in teams, and I guess you compete, and whatever team wins is the best or whatever. I'm sure that's taken from some other, like, not Lord of the Rings, but Hunger Games type
Hunger
deal.
Hunger Games, okay.
Oh, I was supposed to say Harry Potter.
But all the kids that are on the cover are in detention, and they're trying to get out so they can go, you know, get ready for the exam, and they all get put in the team together. So it's got, like, you know, different versions of Jubilee, Pitsy, Cloak and Dagger, where their powers are inversed. So Cloak is Dagger, and Dagger is Cloak.
Okay.
Bucky Barnes is we call it the hall monitor, I guess. You know, all Mr. Goody Two Shoes. Let's see, Molly Danger. And then at the end, the final page reveals a character that, of course, was announced to be in the book, but I had totally forgot about that person.
Okay.
But I like the Amadeus Cho and Scar are like best friends. And, like, Scar is always, is basically his, like, bodyguard. Like, if he gets in trouble, like, Scar shows up, like, you know, leave my friend alone.
It's always got to be a Hulk, right?
Yeah,
a Hulk. Or Hercules. Or Hercules. Yeah.
I tried reading this one, and I got about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 pages into it, and just thought, nah, I'm going to read something else. Like, it just there's nothing about it that really caught my eye, captured my attention, made me want to keep going.
Well, it appears to have inspired a friend of the show, Dr. Gloom.
His avatar.
Ooh. All right.
But yeah, I felt the same way reading Justice League this week.
Yeah, so did I. But, you know, I was never a fan of the original Runaways either, and I know a ton of people live and die by that book, so...
Yeah, maybe not live and die, but I definitely liked it. It took a while to get used to, you know, just reading about those characters, but, you know, I definitely see why a lot of people, you know, like that story. It's just, you know, whether or not it's even related to, you know... Some of those characters. I guess some of those characters do appear, right?
One.
Oh, wow, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Runaways and name only.
Yeah, it's more like Young Avengers and Young X-Men, probably, like all mishmash together. Okay.
What do you think of the art?
I like the art. I like Sanford Green.
South Carolina's own.
Hmm.
And only the last book I read, I believe it was the last book I read, was Squadron Supreme. Oh, actually, it's not the last book, but yeah,
Squadron Sinister.
Squadron, yeah, Sinister. I'm sorry. It was supposed to come out last week, but got bumped. So this is like the Sons of Anarchy style Marvel Secret Wars book, where it's a book about the bad guys and them doing bad things and yada yada yada. I like Carlos Pacheco's art, and I do like. It is interesting to see, you know, the battle world from the focus of, you know, villains. That was interesting for me. Thor dies in this issue.
Oh no!
And they need to like figure out who did it before God Doom puts his gaze on them. It's basically the story.
It's like a running theme.
Yeah.
You know, it's like let's take care of this before God Doom you know takes action.
Yeah, there's a couple books that seem like
Thor's was like that too.
Thing. Yeah,
and I guess this book also had some Shadowline characters who I've never heard of before.
Shadowline?
No kidding.
That's what I heard. Is that who the? Is that anyone else read this?
No.
No.
Sorry.
I was gonna say Hyperion fought some other dude near the end who I'm assuming is a Shadowline character. I have no idea.
But wasn't Shadowline part of Image?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Whatever I read, Philly said Shadowline, so I said the same thing. I was like, I thought Shadowline was like, who was the Nighthawk or whatever the dude's name was?
Darkhawk. Valentino.
Yeah, that guy.
Let's see here. Squadron Sinister.
I'm looking at this now.
Mm.
Shadowline. Let's see.
What will the internets tell us?
Oh, Marvel's epic characters from the Shadowline imprint. So it's from the epic comics that Marvel did.
Okay.
So not the Valentino Shadowline.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
So supposedly this is the issue where like no character is safe. Someone can die every issue. So I may stick with it. I found myself not actually reading as many Secret Wars books as I thought I'd be.
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm reading more than I thought I would be, honestly.
Yeah, actually, you know? I was...
Yeah.
I thought I was only going to be reading Secret Wars itself and none of these other tie-in books, but, man, I'll be reading Thor's, like, a second time.
All right. Did anyone else read Old Man Logan number 2?
That was the last book I read this week.
There you go. So
I liked it better than the first. That's all I'll say.
Well, what I was going to say is at least we see what happens when you try to cross over into another realm, when you try to go up the shield wall. You know, there's a Thor there to kind of strike you down. You know, and what ends up happening is that Old Man Logan is kind of traversing different – I don't know if it's a dream – I guess it's a dreamscape or a mindscape and kind of flipping through different realities and then – where we find he's landed after crossing the shield wall is a locale, a part of Battleworld that we're familiar with. Anyone who's been reading X-Men for a while will recognize the Age of Apocalypse realm. And I got to pull out my Battleworld map to see what the name of that realm is. But
I was gonna see. I was going to check the map to make sure that Age of Apocalypse world is actually near the Wastelands where he's supposed to be coming.
All right, let's pull it out. Let's see. Where's the... Oh, the Wastelands is 31. So let's see here. That's big. So, and that has a lot of borders. So if it's crossing into... What's Age of Apocalypse? Yeah, it does. It borders. It's a big border.
Okay.
It's a very big border. It's on the right side of the map when you look at it.
Just want to make sure they were
staying consistent, right?
Yeah, staying consistent.
I wish there was a Google Maps version of that.
Oh, you know, that's something that they really missed the ball on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because their map isn't the greatest on the website.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of helpful to have this thing, you know? Although it looks too much like a Monopoly game, you know, game board. because of the
McDonald's board
or risk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's a mix of risk and monopoly, you know. So, but yeah, you know, it was like you said, I agree with you, Tim. It was a better read than the first issue. It was nice to see, you know, the old man Logan character, you know, moving out of the wastelands into one of the other realms and seeing how they react to him. You know, and it's also interesting, before we move on, it's also interesting reading this, knowing that this is one of the characters that's going to live on beyond Secret Wars and kind of enter the Marvel Universe proper.
That's yeah, the only reason I'm reading it.
I was just thinking about that because the cover shows him and a normal, somewhat normal-looking Wolverine.
Oh.
And yet he's the one that survives and the other Wolverine does not.
Deceiving cover, because I'm assuming that's supposed to be an Age of Apocalypse Wolverine, but isn't he missing a hand? Maybe it's his left hand, maybe, that's missing?
It's missing. It is missing. If you look at the barcode, that's the stump.
Oh, I see. Right down there, it's covering it up.
Right. Okay. The barcode. I'm sorry for the glare, but you could see it's right under the Secret Wars. That's the stump.
Okay.
So that is the Age of Apocalypse Wolverine that he's fighting.
Maybe I can move it over. There you go. If you look right there, there's the stump.
There you go. Okay. Thanks for bringing that up, there.
Big circle right back there.
See, I'm trying to spot check Marvel over here. Sure, that character is who they
way
say
to try
it.
To get that no prize, Tim.
Exactly. All right. So let's see. Is anything else Marvel? I mean, I'll throw this out real quick. Deadpool Secret Wars number 2. This book is geared towards the target audience are fans who grew up with the original Secret Wars and who will remember a lot of the callbacks that that come into this issue. Dirt, did you read this?
Not all the way through. I didn't have time.
Okay. So, I mean, but you obviously see what Cullen Bunn is doing. You know, basically he has, you know, numerous issues of the first Secret Wars limited series, and he keeps, you know, referring to, you know, individual scenes throughout as a kind of, you know, and then weaving, you know, this kind of weird, this weird retcon, false retcon or whatever, because it is Deadpool after all, so.
Well, you can even look at the cover. The cover is a throwback where you've got Hulk holding up the top of the mountain there.
Right.
You've got that giant Deadpool with his little Deadpool, you know, doll or whatever playing along with him.
Right. Although there was a variant cover, I think it involved Deadpool, where it's a much better drawing of the Hulk holding up the mountain, and I think he's tickling him. Do you remember that one?
Oh, okay.
That variant cover. I know. I picked it up. So, you know, I don't remember which comic that was, but I remember definitely leaning towards that and picking that up. I think it was a Ms. Marvel cover, come to think of it.
Yeah, you know? The first one was really fun, and I actually tried reading this before the show, just didn't have time.
It was all right. You know, it's okay. It's okay. I don't know. I think the novelty's kind of wearing off for me. So, all right.
The only other Marvel book I read was Deathlok.
Okay. How was that?
Part of the Nathan Edmondson empire of
yes, action. The gun-toting character
comics there. He once again played off the conspiracy of this corporation, the biotech corporation, and it looks as if Deathlok and the other Deathlok, the older Deathlok, they team up to, you know, basically take out this company that's been controlling their lives, and it looks successful, but dun dun dun, it is not. And there are remnants of this company. It's almost like the Umbrella Corporation in Resident Evil. Every time they shut it down, there's like another, you know, outpost somewhere else on another continent. And it's following that basic deal. But this is an issue that is 90% action. I mean, 90% of this book is them running and shooting and blowing things up. And, you know, here's a bigger threat. Can we take them out? Yes, we take them out. And here's another threat. Can we take them out? Yes, we can take them out. And it just keeps building and building and building. And then finally it looks like everything's taken care of. And then you find out that it is not. And now there's, without giving it away, there's a new wrinkle. And and the wrinkle is actually as bad as he thought things were before. Now things have gotten worse. And now he's in an even worse position than he was before he went in to try to destroy this company. So Edmondson keeps finding ways in order, every time you think that he's found a way to, you know, to blow a hole in the wall and walk out to freedom, he's walking right out into another even bigger room that he's got to fight his way out of.
Wow.
And that's, and metaphorically speaking, that's what this book is happening. Every layer that he peels back in order to escape, there's, you know, an even tougher layer still holding him in. And kind of like the Bourne Identity movies, the way the conspiracy kept going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and that's basically what's happening here as well. So it's a very enjoyable book. I still love it quite a bit.
I'm going to have to catch up on this based on your recommendation. I know you're a fan of the Edmonton line, you know, that he does for Marvel, and I've read most of the other ones. You know, I've read, obviously, Punisher and Black Widow. Mm-hmm. Deathlok is the one that I've had trouble keeping up with. And just based on your recommendation, especially given the fact that some of these weeks are a little light, I may have a chance to kind of catch up on Deathlok and see if, you know, I like it now that we're 9 issues in.
Well, and it's also, I think if you look at the three characters, Punisher, Black Widow, and Deathlok, Deathlok is the weakest of the three.
Right.
And I originally had zero interest in the book. Like, I wasn't even going to bother. The only reason why I did was because his name was on it. And even then, I waited until several issues had come out before I really, you know, decided to get into it. Right. And so once I did, I was like, oh my gosh, this is great as Punisher and Black Widow. So it really is, you know, among my favorites of the stuff coming out from Marvel right now.
Nice.
Who'd have thunk it?
Seriously? Yeah, I'm like maybe three, four issues behind, but I've liked what I've read so far.
Cool. Well, speaking of action-packed issues and Colin Bunn, Moon Knight number 16.
I did not read this, so I guess you had a good time reading it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was like I said, action-packed. It was let's say there was at least one scene that may invoke a certain other character, similar character in another universe, who had a movie back in 1989.
No.
Mm-hmm. Just slightly. So here we have, and it just pretty much starts off in the action. You see some flying dudes come in and just swoop up people off the streets. And next thing you know, Moon Knight comes in with his Moon Knight glider.
The Crescent glider.
Yeah, which is looks like a different version because this is a kind of kitted out one. Has drones and guns and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see him chasing them down and you know, getting the people back. And once again, you see a very familiar scene involving the moon and said glider that may invoke this movie that I was talking about.
Okay.
Yes. But yeah, like I said, it was a pretty good action-packed issue.
I definitely see that there's a superhero costume running rampant in this one as opposed to the Mr. Knight outfit. So that's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, and the only other seemingly tie to what's been going on recently is that near the end of it, you see him reference about talking to your gods type of deal.
End of the world type thing, okay.
Well, no, because you know he's been having issues with, you know, Senpai noticing him or Khonshu noticing him.
Right.
You know, so he just kind of makes an offhand reference to that to the people he saves.
Okay.
But yeah, it was enjoyable. I liked it.
It's definitely on my reading list.
Like, you can read this and not have to worry about, you know, anything prior to this also. Because this issue pretty much stands alone.
Someone like me could sit down and just read this one issue.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I was about to say, Dirt, I don't know if you've been reading Moon Knight at all, so.
No. I haven't been following up on Moon Knight since 92, maybe.
Wow. So.
All
right.
And that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's not much left out there, really.
Actually, what I want to know about is Dirt, Alex and Ada.
I wondered if that was going to come up. All right. This is the final issue.
Really?
I mean, it was always meant to be a limited series. It was never meant to be an ongoing. So this is the final. I'm not going to spoil necessarily any part of the story. Okay. I will spoil the fact that this is my click of the week, hands down. As much as I enjoyed other stuff, nothing comes close to this book.
Wow.
I gave this book 95 out of 100, and the only thing that kept it from being a 100 out of 100 was the reveal of who the villain was, who basically turns him in for having this sentient robot. the character who does it, you can see that there's a motivation there, and it fits, but it still kind of comes out of left field until you get the explanation. So it's one of those where you don't really see it coming. Nothing really builds for it. But then you have the reveal, and then you go, oh, well, okay, I guess that works. But there was nothing pointing to that character in the reveal that they would betray him. But beyond that, that was the only flaw I could find in the entire book. The artwork was gorgeous. The characters were perfect. And it was an ending. It's one of those endings to the story where a whole lot of time gets compressed in the middle of the book. You've got these parts at the beginning where his world kind of falls apart. Then you have this compression of many years, and then it kind of starts to breathe again towards the end of the issue as his life changes. And again, I'm trying not to give things away. But the ending of the book, it's one of those endings where, you know, I felt like I just watched the movie of the year. I felt like I just finished one of the best novels I've ever read. Like, it really, it came across as just one of the best stories, hands down, I experienced, whether it be a comic or a movie or a book or, you know, whatever. This was just perfect. I've enjoyed this series a lot, you know, going along every month that it's come out. And this, like, it's one of those things where you get to the end, and I like it so much, I'm afraid to ever read it again. You know, because, well, reading it a second time kind of ruined the experience now that I know how it ends, because the ending was so perfect. Or do I want to read it again and re-experience everything? You know, I'm kind of torn in that way, because I got done with it, and it felt like, you know, that feeling you get when you get to the end of a long story where you've gotten close to the characters, and you're really sad to see them go, and you're sad that the story's over. You know, nobody, it's not that the world ends at the end. It's not everybody dies at the end, you know. Life still goes on. The world is still turning, you know, that type of thing. But it's just one of those things where the story was just perfect. And this is one of those stories that is going to always be in the back of my mind whenever I watch anything else or read anything else, you know, from now on. This is going to be in that pantheon in my brain of the great stories I've experienced over the years.
All right.
Wow.
It's a good review.
Yeah, if there's a level of praise that you need to hear in order for you to go out and read something, this is twice that.
Man, wow. I mean, listen, I know Tim was big on this for a while, and I had meant to, you know, and I guess now that it's over, I'll go back and read it. So, you know, I'll give it my own read and see what I think. But
one of the issues on my vacation. I can't remember exactly which one it was. Now I'm probably like 7 issues behind or whatever. What issue was this?
15.
Yeah, I'm like halfway. So, but yeah, 7 or 8 or 9, I think I'm on. And I loved it, but yeah, good series.
And
Image has a couple series I need to catch up on.
Yeah, and it's also kind of bittersweet when you get to the ending because, again, this is a planned ending. It's not like the series got canceled. Like, this is the ending that he wanted to tell. This is what he was trying to get to when he started, you know, with issue 1. So getting to it, it's you almost feel like I didn't want to read it, you know, because it was the final one and I knew there weren't going to be any more. But at the same time, I wanted to read it as fast as I could just because I wanted to absorb it, you know. So you have that tension, you know, while you're reading it, that you want to read it but you don't. It's like the finale of a TV show that you've been watching for years, you know, that type of thing. But I just I can't say enough about it. You know, all I could do on Vine for 6 seconds was to cry, you know, blow my nose and just, you know, wail at the fact that it was over, because it is just fantastic.
All right, cool.
And if any of you guys need copies for academic purposes, let me know.
No problem.
Sure.
Any other books? Image, IDW, Dark Horse?
No. No.
I had asked about one in the doc, but I think that question's already been answered.
No.
Well, we got Rock and Roll Comics, Faith No More. Nobody read that one?
Oh, jeez.
Where's that at? There it is. Right there.
Finally.
If you've ever wondered their life story.
That's funny.
Wait, when they do Rage Against the Machine, they probably already did one. But I don't know. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I think that's pretty much it. Anyone have any back issues? Did we do a back issue segment from last week?
Actually, I don't know about last week, but I can't remember when the last issue of this. G.I. Joe number 8, and I'm only bringing this up because the series ended. I think I mentioned it on Twitter. It ended rather abruptly. And it was a really good story because it had all the political intrigue. And G.I. Joe was kind of a side character in the whole thing, but they were there prominently. I hated to see this book go.
Was this the series that was like more about the political intrigue of it than the actual battles and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did enjoy this one. I did fall behind, but I read the first couple issues. I did enjoy it. It's one of those things I meant to get back to at some point and just never did.
Yeah, I had kept on top of it, but I think I lagged an issue behind or something like that. Right. But then I finally caught up on it and I got to the end of the 8th one and was like, well, you're playing for plan to go for certain far, but this is it.
Gotcha. So, gotcha. Yeah.
And it left on a cliffhanger. A cliffhanger. I mean, there were a bunch of threads that were left open, not necessarily a cliffhanger, but it was like, hopefully there's somebody they will pick it back up at some point, but it just ended abruptly. It wasn't like one of those, hey, you need to end this book, and get somewhere.
Gotcha. I just wanted to mention from last week, something I read. It was, from Boom/Archaea. It was a Legends of the Guard number 4 of 4. Mouse Guard, Legends of the Guard. The premise of this particular volume of Legends of the Guard is, these mice who are telling stories to pay off their bar tab, and the best story basically gets the bar tab forgiven, and everyone who's telling a story is at risk of having to pay up their bill, and this issue, I'm only mildly spoiling it. The story that wins the contest is in this issue. The story that is judged to be the best mouse story to have that particular mouse's bar tab forgiven, the story's in this one. So if you want to just jump to to this issue and read the best one, it's in here, and I really liked it. I was kind of floored by like a 5 or 6 page story that was just so well told. It was phenomenal stuff. So if anyone is interested in kind of a one issue Mouse Guard that's not really done by David Peterson but done by other creators, David Peterson is the creator of Mouse Guard, but he kind of lets other creators into the Mouse Guard world during these Legends of the Guard issues, and they go to town, they tell great stories of their own making, and this issue, I think, if you're interested in Mouse Guard, there's not going to be another Mouse Guard, proper series for a little while. But if you're looking for a Mouse Guard fix, this is the issue to get.
And for back issues from last week, I read Captain America, Mighty Avengers. Nice send-off for, I guess, both series, Mighty Avengers and Captain America and Mighty Avengers. Yep. Since everyone was giving Captain Marvel and the Karakorps thumbs up. I gave that a read. It was all right. I'm not sure I'll probably continue with that series, but I can see the intrigue with Carol and her, fighter squadron.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way, going to that particular book, I like the way that one of the characters figured out that Doom hasn't been completely truthful.
Right.
And the way that they're kind of unraveling that storyline, that to me was part of the big draw.
Yeah, well, I was about to say that made me turn the page, because I don't know if I would have kept going in that book had it not been for that. And and it's not it's obvious, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you just sort of gloss over details like that, but when you see them pick at that detail, you're like, oh, wait a second.
Small word,
right?
That she picked up on. She goes, wait a minute, that's not right.
Exactly.
And there was also the other thing, because there was another line from probably that same character who figured it out, was like, to Carol, about figuring out what, don't you remember where you came from or something like that? Don't you want to know where you came from or something like that? Even though we see her, which was the thing about me, because I thought about it. It's like, wait, she just showed up in Secret Wars 3 or, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. But we realized, so there was, a whole lot of, like, wait, she's here at this, but she's also showing up in this other thing. But we also know that, you know, there's probably multiple versions of these people.
Right.
This, like, this might be the same person as the one that shows up in Secret Wars proper.
Right. All right, cool.
And then Ghost Racers, number one, and Gotham Academy, number seven, Cats and Dogs, Marvel Zombies, number one.
That was good.
Yeah, that's
Marvel Zombies, number one, was a surprisingly good read.
I had no intention of reading that, but I'll be keeping up with
Marvel That's Zombies. The one where she was wandering out in the wilderness and finds a child. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, see, this is what Dirt and I were talking about before. I'm actually reading a lot more of these Battle World Secret Wars books than I thought I would ever even try to make my way through.
Although, the ones that people seem to have the most buzz for early on were books like X-Men 92. And
I haven't read that yet.
Neither
have I. That, to me, has no appeal. You know?
And that, yeah, there seems to be some sort of secret underlying tagline of Secret Wars. Like, yep, you might end up reading something you didn't expect. Federal Bureau of Physics was last week. That was pretty good. What the hell happened?
This is what happens in our back issue segment later.
Yeah, no. It was actually pretty good, though, because there was not much. There was a little bit of action, but it also opened up some other stuff, and it kind of glossed, well, a little went to more some side characters that we kind of didn't expect to see again, or at least I didn't expect to see, but I'm glad it did. So it's kind of been going on. And I've noticed they've gone a whole lot of a long way from where this book started, and it's still been interesting to me. So I've still been enjoying it. Kanan the Last Padawan, I think y'all talked about that one, so yeah, that was all right.
I haven't read it past the first issue, so. Yeah. All right.
Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos, I probably won't continue with that either, because I haven't been keeping up with Deadpool, never really have.
Mm-hmm.
It ties a lot into, I guess, however she was introduced, and they got married, and he got killed, however all that happened.
Right.
Yep, that's all I read from last week. Oh, Ultimate End number 2, which still makes no sense.
Yes, thank you. Like, and you know what's funny about Ultimate End number 2, a little bit of a spoiler bell, even though it's a week old. So, I didn't pick up Ultimate End number 2. I didn't pick up a physical issue. I did not pull it, so I never ended up getting a copy. And if I go to one of the bigger stores in New York, I'll probably be able to pick up a copy. But at one of the smaller shops I frequent, they were sold out because of something that happens in this issue. And I'm like, please, people, I know who bites the bullet. And this is a character that Bendis just apparently does not like, you know, because the same character bit the bullet in Disassembled, you know, Avengers Disassembled.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
Right. So, like, why is this issue selling out? It makes no sense. We know it's not permanent. So.
Or is it?
Bum, bum, bum.
My fear with these Bendis Secret Wars books, and I guess I'll find out once Guardians of Nowhere comes out, is all at least the two out right now, they're so confusing, and it seems to be on purpose.
Yeah.
But yet, you know they're Bendis books, so you know they probably closely tie in the Secret Wars of what's going to happen after Secret Wars. So they're important, but they make no sense. So... It's supposedly by the end of Ultimate End, or issue 5 or whatever, we find out what, you know, what's really going on. But I mean, at that point, the book's over.
Yeah, it seems like a long time to wait to figure out what's going on.
And it will be worth it. Probably not.
Probably not. Not with Bendis. Not the way he ends up some of these event storylines.
Yeah.
All right. Are we at Click of the Week time, fellas?
I hope Dirt has. Probably what a couple of hours Click of the Week is uploaded.
I was going to ask
that. He put his up there. I saw
his.
I'm waiting for you to announce yours.
I think mine's pretty obvious.
I was going to say ours. I'm assuming a couple of us had the same thing. Thor's number
Thor's.
One.
Yeah. Yes, Thor's number one.
Yeah.
That's funny. Jason Aaron, shout out to Jason Aaron, Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, and Marte Gracia, the color artist. That's the creative team on this. It's a pretty great story all around.
So I'm the only one breaking the count on that one. I enjoyed it, but Alex and Ada 15 was just unbelievable.
Yes, that was very impactful for you, so we understand.
Yeah, that's
We got you on that one.
So, all right.
That's cool. All righty.
Tim?
Let's take it home.
Bag it.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in live or tuning into the audio or video replay of tonight's Comic Book Chronicles. Rowdy Cat, will you be on next week?
Yes, I will.
Yay!
I am back on for the next 3 to 4 weeks.
You'll be able to tell us all about Heroes Con next week.
Yes.
Yep. There will be pictures. There may be a Periscope or two. I don't know. I got my Street Pass.
Get the Periscope going.
Yeah, I know. I got my Street Pass device. I got the handy wipes. I got the portable. I got the most important thing you would need at a con.
Nice.
So yeah, if you see me out there, I'll be in the shirt of the day. Say hey. I got the business card.
Breathmint.
Yeah, I got gum somewhere around here.
Nice.
Yeah. It's all taken care of. Come see me, say hey. I don't bite. Be nice, because I'm scared. But yeah.
Cool.
Make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at CBCron. Radicat is at Radicat and at NewsNerdsNeed. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. And go to his website, PopCultureNetwork.com.
Yeah!
We'll be back live next Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We are the Comic Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Good evening. Hey!